This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Gay rights advocate and education activist Daniel Whithouse is on a mission to eliminate homophobia in Australia. Having taken to the roads in a bus called Bruce, his mission is clear: to put an end to homophobia for once and for all. Welcome, Daniel Whithouse.
Thank you. The only thing I would dispute is it was an openly gay truck called Bruce. However, most people did say, "Are you driving a bus with a shoe on top? Is it like Priscilla Queen of the Desert?" So that's quite accurate.
Well, first question of the evening. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Look, I'm someone who for almost 20 years has been doing my best to support as many LGBTI people, young and old, in rural communities and also in schools, and to challenge homophobia and transphobia in all the ways that I can and do my best with that. I've started an organisation called the National Institute for Challenging Homophobia Education, or called NISH for short, which looks specifically about regional, rural and remote Australia.
Okay, brilliant. Now, can you tell me a little bit more about what NISH's role is in rural areas?
Yeah, like I said, because I've spent the last few years going exclusively to regional, rural and remote areas, what I do is a couple of things. I collect everyday LGBTI, et cetera, stories from regional, rural and remote Australians, and to try and get a modern day snapshot about what life is like. So rather than making an assessment myself, I ask lots of people, what's life like for you? What's important? What is it that you need? So that really drives a lot of the work that I do. The other thing I do is that, more importantly, is go and speak to mainstream Australians and try and work out what's going to engage them in this issue, what's going to get them supporting more LGBTI, etc. people, and also getting them to challenge everyday homophobia and transphobia in the everyday roles that they play, because we don't know enough about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when people call themselves activists, I think it's very important that as an activist that first of all people can understand what your message is, and then secondly that that when you're out and you find people that may be against your cause, that you work out whether or not it's ignorance or if it's they're actually intentionally doing it.
It definitely affects your approach.
And look, a lot of people can sometimes think they know what I do, but look, to tell you the truth, whether people call me an activist or an advocate or whatever, what I do is I go out and I ask lots and lots of questions of lots of people, everyone who I can speak to. And I have this tagline: I want to challenge homophobia one cuppa at a time. And that is, I want to sit down with everybody. And most of what I do with people, probably 80% of what I do, is actually asking questions and listening.
Okay.
So it's not about me going in and saying, here it is, here's my message, you got to listen, do it this way or the highway or whatever. It's about listening to try and find out what's working for as many people as possible out there.
Have you got a particular, an area that you're focused on, that you want to target certain areas or certain parts of the country?
Yeah, so it's important for me to go to the places where no one else is going. So, for example, I've been to places like Mount Isa, Bunbury, the northwest of Tasmania. All these places, when I mention them, people will go, well, why the F would you go there? There's nothing there. Mm. And it's so important for me to get to those areas, because unless we go, we don't know what's there. We don't know what can be improved. And if I'm not going, who's going to go? If all these mainstream services are saying it's too far or it's too hard, I really want to go to those places, and everyone else can fight over the inner city territories and schools.
I think it's important to remember that no matter how isolated a community is, if you've got 100 kids, at least 10 of them are going to be queer.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be queer kids wherever you go, and it's important that everyone gets that support.
And even if they're not in the inner city and there's no specific LGBTI or queer project, what we do know is the most important thing is that people have supportive people around them. And that's what young people all over the country say, is the people around me make the biggest difference in my everyday life. And so that's the focus of the work that I do, is how to create more supportive, like, networks and everyday communities for people.
Do you take a particular approach when you go out to these communities? Like you do a, you know, a very structured visit, like you know what you're going to do from the moment you get there?
So it differs. So what I will do is I'll always be invited into those communities, and there will be some key partners, and so that they might be a community group, a mainstream organisation, it might be a school, whatever. And then my job is to go in and find as much as I can about how I can build on what it is that they're already doing. So it's this, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's a strength-based approach. If they've got, you know, a particular community group or a school or someone who's doing really great work, rather than saying, no, you have to do something different, it's like, how can we build on that and how can we do more of it? And most of the time, it's starting everyday conversations and it's leaving resources behind because, you know, these communities are quite capable of doing this work. It just might be new for them.
In your travels, what do you think is one of the most common challenges faced by under 25-year-olds in rural communities?
Well, rural communities say there are two big things. And one is that LGBTI young people are way, way overrepresented in rural suicide stats. And so that motivates a lot of communities to go, we need to understand this even if we're uncomfortable. The other thing is that they'll say that young people feel like they can't be themselves and they feel like they're pressured to go to the big smoke. And what most young people I've heard say around the country, again, talking to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, they say, we don't want to have to go to the big smoke. We want to stay with our friends. We want to be able to, you know, survive and thrive here.
And they feel like they have no choice. I mean,
yeah.
I'm from all my friends that I've spoken to, exactly the same thing. They've like, I had to move to the city to get away. It was the only option.
Yep.
Okay, guys. So if Daniel, if people would like to find out more about your cause, so National Institute for Challenging Homophobia Education, or NISH,
yeah.
Where can they go?
Best place to go is thatsogay.com.au, so they can find out all about the latest work that I'm doing. I'm about to go down to Tasmania again to go to the west and the east coast. I'm going to go to the central coast of New South Wales and hoping to get somewhere like South Australia or NT later on this year. But if people want to find out about those everyday resources, please let me know. And if you're in a rural area and you'd like to have a chat or tell your story, we'd love to hear from you and we'd love to visit your town and let's see what we can do together.
Great. That was Daniel Whithouse.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
You're listening to Right Here, Right Now on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.